The Lonely Years, 1876-1891, Volume 3, Chapter 8, 1878-1879, The Winter in Northern Texas. One action taken at the 1878 General Conference session was a recommendation that a camp meeting be held in Texas during the autumn, when James and Ellen White could attend, the Review and Herald, October 24, 1878. After consulting Arthur M. Kilgore, who had just completed a tent meeting at Plano, north of Dallas, James White announced in the Review and Herald that a general camp meeting would be held in that community November 12 to 19. This gave the Whites time to assist in the two late camp meetings in Kansas, one near Topeka and the other some 150 miles south, close to Oswego. White reported that Kansas was increasing her population faster than any other state in the Union. The people, although generally poor, were intelligent and ready to read and hear and investigate the reasons of our faith and hope, Ibid, November 21, 1878. Surveying the field at about the same time, S.A.N. Haskell conjectured that there was no reason why Kansas may not be in a short time second to no conference in point of numbers, Ibid, November 7, 1878. With people ready to hear and little companies springing up across the state, it is understandable that four camp meetings were held in one season to nurture the new believers, Ibid, November 21, 1878. James White could not get away from Battle Creek in time to attend the meeting near Topeka, held October 24 to 29 at a community known then as Richland, but Ellen White, accompanied by her daughter-in-law Emma, was there, as well as was Haskell. The camp consisted of 17 family tents and two large tents, one for meetings and one divided with curtains to accommodate campers. Some of the 150 campers came long distances. One family came 200 miles in a covered wagon. Each tent had a stove, and the preaching tent had two. On Sabbath morning an inch of snow fell, and the weather was very cold. James White and D.T. Bordeaux joined the team at the Sherman Camp meeting November 1, the second day of that convocation, held near Oswego. About 100 believers had come from a widely scattered area. On the grounds were 10 family tents and a large number of covered wagons. Of the congregational tents, one was used as a chapel and for prayer meetings, the other was divided into apartments for families, Ibid. Among the new believers who assembled at the Sherman meeting were those who questioned the stand of the church on temperance and the gift of prophecy. Close attention was paid to Ellen White's preaching. Sabbath morning James White spoke nearly 2 hours to a tent full of eager listeners on the words, "The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy," Revelation 19 verse 10, Ibid. Tuesday afternoon, the Whites, with Haskell and Emma, were off by train across the Indian Territory, Oklahoma, bound for Dallas, Texas. At the McDermott home of their arrival in Texas, James White reported to the readers of the Review, Wednesday, November 6, "We reached Dallas, dusty and weary, but glad that our journey of about 1,000 miles from Battle Creek, Michigan, to Dallas, Texas, was at an end. We tarried the night at the home of Brother Cole and family, and Thursday came to the good and comfortable home of Brother McDermott at Grand Prairie, west of Dallas. Here our daughter met her parents, brother, and sister, who have all been brought near the door of death by the fever which has prevailed in this state during the past season. Our coming was timely. They have a large house and warm hearts, but as they move about they look more like walking corpses than living men and women," Ibid. At another time White declared that it would take two of them to make a shadow, Letter 54, 1878. 20 years earlier the Whites had made the acquaintance of the McDermotts, who were then living in Michigan. They were in feeble health, but with the acceptance of the health reform principles they rallied. In time, Edson White married one of the daughters, Emma. Seeking to avoid the cold winters of Michigan, the McDermotts moved to northern Texas and settled in Grand Prairie, Manuscript 3, 1878. On this 1878 visit the Whites found the McDermotts destitute and ill. "We tried to help them," wrote Ellen White. "I gave Sister McDermott $40 from my own purse to use for the necessities of life. Father bought bags of flour, a barrel of apples, nuts, sugar, etc. He bought one cotton mattress and one husk mattress, overlaid with cotton. It is seldom I have seen such destitution. I have bought several things for their comfort. Father left McDermott his fur coat to use, for his blood is so low he cannot bear the least chilliness of the air. We have done what we could for them," Letter 54, 1878. The Plano Camp Meeting. After spending a week at the McDermott home, James and Ellen White went on north some 20 miles to Plano. The camp meeting had opened there, 3 miles from the village, on Tuesday, November 12. About 200 believers came in for a very successful camp meeting. From Peoria, about 100 miles away, 9 families came by private conveyance, Manuscript 3, 1878. Ellen White pictured the accommodations awaiting her and her party. We found a tent prepared for us with board floor and carpeted, provided with bedsteads, tables, chairs, and stove. Nothing was wanting to make us comfortable. Our friends who had recently embraced the truth that Plano had anticipated our wants and liberally supplied them in the furnishing of our tent ibid as to the meetings, wrote James White, 24 discourses were preached during the camp meeting. Elder Haskell was on the ground 2 days in advance and gave 11 discourses. Mrs. White and the writer gave 6 discourses each, and Elder Kilgore, 1. In consequence of the distance, the rains, and deep mud, the outside attendance was small. Sunday afternoon Mrs. White gave a discourse on Christian temperance before a large congregation, the Review and Herald, December 5, 1878. During the camp meeting 13 people were baptized, the Texas Conference was formed, and aggressive plans were laid for tent evangelism. It was decided to purchase 2 evangelistic tents, one 60 feet in diameter and the other 50 feet. The Whites elected to settle for the winter in Denison, some 60 miles to the north of Dallas and not far from the Red River, which forms the boundary for the northeast part of the state. Denison was somewhat of a railroad center, situated on sandy land. Roads were fairly good and the surroundings pleasant. The fluctuating plans of James and Ellen White. As James and Ellen White went to Texas, their general, long-range plans were to remain there for the winter, then in early May travel to Colorado, where they might spend a few weeks, ibid, November 21, 1878. But their plans fluctuated. Ever in search of a place where he could lay off the stress of leadership and write without interruptions, and where there could be an improvement of health, James White's mind turned first in one direction and then in another. Forgetful of good resolutions to temper his schedule, he would get caught up in the stimulus of the work of the church, which he had nurtured since its inception. He had a clear, long-range vision, shared only by a few, of the great days the church was entering upon, and had a natural urge to stand in the lead. He was the president of the General Conference and was one of 3 who served as the General Conference Committee. He was also president of the several auxiliary organizations publishing, medical, and educational and chief editor of both the Review and Herald and the Signs of the Times. Such responsibility was exhilarating but enervating as well. Repeatedly he saw that in the interests of his own survival he must withdraw from the forefront of the battle. At headquarters he was happy, much loved, and respected. But once away from the center of the work, he often chafed at the mistakes and mismanagement of men of less experience and, in the case of some, of less dedication. He tended to fret, and sometimes lashed out in an endeavor to steady the work and avert what seemed to him to be disaster. It was a difficult period for James, and he struggled, as he put it, to grow old gracefully, ibid, May 15, 1879. At this he was more successful at some times than at others. For her part Ellen White would have preferred, in the winter of 1878-1879, to have been in Battle Creek engaged in her writing. This sidelight may be helpful in interpreting what at this juncture may seem to be rather erratic movements and statements on James White's part. Working at home in Denison, Texas in Denison, the Whites were to occupy a home being built by the Ballers. Just as soon as the plaster was dry they settled down for the winter. They had to secure furniture and furnishings, and assemble materials for their writing. It seems that Ellen White left Battle Creek in such haste that she did not have time or strength to assemble either adequate clothing for the winter or the writing materials and reference work she would need. The requests she addressed to Willie and Mary included bedding, materials for sewing patterns for dresses for herself and pants for James and some food items for the table. But of top priority were materials needed for her writing. Seldom do we get a picture of what she wished to have at hand with her literary work, so mention of particular items as she wrote to Mary is of interest. One paragraph in a letter written November 8 reads, "Send me my feather bed, 4 pairs of sheets and pillowcases, all made. I need my writings the most. I care more for these than anything else. I want 10 scratch books made just as long again as those we have. The same width will answer. Remember, just as long again as those we have used fully 1/2 yard long. This is much more convenient than the small size. I want a supply of foolscap and note and letter paper, and good pencils. Please get me 3 of those 5-cent coral pins at Skinner's. Please send me 2 of my calico nightdresses in wardrobe at office, letter 52, 1878. Another paragraph in the same letter also contains specific requests. Will you please get and mail the covered book History of Paul, and put in a red covered book, Bible Antiquities, a sort of Bible dictionary. Also send all my writings in, the secretary in the office and those at home. Look for a page, less or more, of my article on sanctification. I cannot find the end of it. I have a case made purposely for my writings. Send it also. Also my little box of writings. Take special pains to send the books I desire. There is one old book bought in Oakland Sermons, also another book, Old Worthies of the Old Testament. You look over my books and send all I shall really need, Ibid. On November 20th, she was writing for more materials to be sent. The request discloses the particular lines of work she had in mind, testimonies, and books dealing with some phases of the great controversy story. Ask Brother Farnsworth in reference to that testimony sent to Iowa. I must have it and a copy of all my testimonies lately written, in manuscript or in pamphlet form in print. Father wants those we had in California. Whatever is lacking, search for them at the office or please send all the numbers in pamphlet form and the bound volumes. Also tell Will, WCW, to make no charges for these, as we use these in writing for the benefit of our papers. Send one copy of each of the three volumes, Spirit of Prophecy, for which charge $2. Send one copy each of the four volumes of the Spiritual Gifts, for which make no charge. Volumes 1 and 2 you will find in one book. Send three or four copies of Henry's Life and Pamphlet. All my writings. Also, all my writings I want for Spirit of Prophecy, Volume 4. I want all the books I have named to you before. These books and writings had better be sent by Sister Booth, as we shall need them at once. Be particular to get the writing for Elder Bordeaux and all the writings I have left there at home, Letter 55, 1878. Writing November 22nd, she stated, we intend to commence writing at once and to make the most of our time. Letter 56, 1878. And she did. A few days later she wrote to the children in Battle Creek, we sent an article last night upon missionary labor. Father heard it read before being copied and after it was copied, published in Review and Herald of December 12th. I have much personal matter to get off as soon as possible. I am doing my best to get through my writing, Letter 58, 1878. Miss Marion Davis joins the White Forces. Miss Marion Davis, connected with the youth's instructor staff in Battle Creek, on New Year's Day joined the Whites in Texas to assist them in literary work. At the time she was not well, but she had some of the skills they so much sought. Marion is just what we need, Ellen White wrote Willie and Mary a few days later, she is splendid help. Letter 4, 1879. Thus began a close personal and working relationship between the two women that was to continue through the next 25 years until Marion's death in 1904. Now Ellen White was able to forge ahead with the preparation of personal testimonies. She wrote a number stemming from the comprehensive vision in Battle Creek on October 9, 1878. She also wrote some for publication, based on the same vision. She worked on the manuscript for what was later published as Bible Sanctification, see the Review and Herald, January 18, 1881, to Ibid, May 3, 1881, The Signs of the Times, September 21, 1882, to November 30, 1882, and the revision and amplification of materials on early world history to appear in the Signs. These latter eventually formed the basis of Patriarchs and Prophets. She also pressed on with the preparation of materials for Spirit of Prophecy, Volume 4. The home situation on January 6, Ellen White wrote to Edson of the home situation, Father is well, cheerful, and happy. Very kind and tender of me and my comfort. He is very active, Letter 3A, 1879. A week later she exclaimed, I do not know as we ever enjoyed the society of each other as we do now. Letter 5A, 1879. As the winter drew to a close she wrote feelingly to William and Mary. Father is in a good state of mind, willing to be counseled and advised. He is not so determined and set to carry out his ideas. We have had as pleasant and harmonious a winter as we have ever enjoyed in our lives. We feel like walking humbly and carefully before God. We are not perfect. We may err and do and say things that may not be all right, but we hope no one will be injured in any way by our sayings or doings. We are trying to humbly follow in the footprints of our dear Savior. We need His Spirit and His grace every hour, or we shall make blunders and shall do harm, Letter 18, 1879. A letter written by James to Willie in Battle Creek, where at times the latter must have been called upon to cover for some of his father's erratic moves, reveals a good bit of James's nature in this difficult period of growing old gracefully. Probably, dear children, I may have erred in some of the sharp things I have written relative to the mistakes of younger heads. It is my nature to retaliate when pressed above measure. I wish I was a better man. I also wish that the members of my good family had not the difficulty, of long standing, of becoming very gifted over my faults as they imagine them to be. J.W. to W.C.W., February 27, 1879. Outreach and missionary endeavor as the weather mellowed, and it did quickly, James and Ellen White could not refrain from engaging in local evangelistic ministry. They quickly assessed the needs. On December 4, Ellen White, prefixing her appeal to Battle Creek for literature, wrote, "We cannot go in any direction in Texas but we see covered wagons of movers. Some are real nice people. We want a full supply of publications to give them. Thus we may sow beside all waters. Letter 58, 1878. And she wrote of an item that had appeared as follows in one of the Dallas newspapers. To the editor of the Dallas Herald, the undersigned citizens of Dallas City would esteem it a favor if your journal would extend to Elder James White and his most accomplished wife an invitation to lecture in this city. The attendance may not be large, since this is our busiest cotton season, but we have no doubt that an appreciative audience will be present at any appointment that might be made. Respectfully, James B. Simpson, A. H. Shepherd, Thomas Field, W. L. Cabell, G. Beaumont, and others. Ibid. The editor complied. He called attention to the item and then declared, "We cordially comply with their request, and express the hope that even in these busy times an hour may be spared in listening to what the distinguished lecturers may say. It is to be hoped also that Elder White may be induced to build a sanitarium in Dallas similar to the one in Michigan which has attracted such worldwide interest." Ibid. This invitation took on real significance when 2 days later they learned the identity of the men who signed the request. Of this she wrote, "Mayor, first, banker, lawyer, ex-representative to Congress, present representative in Congress, physician, and many others. We shall go in February when the tent can be pitched and a crowd got out to hear." Letter 59, 1878. Evangelism in nearby communities. But first there were the interests nearer their Denison home. The cold weather now passed. On weekends they held meetings in nearby communities. On Thursday, February 13th, they were off for Dallas, 75 miles by carriage. As James White wrote of this to Willie, he described one missionary facet of the trip. "Brother Arthur, Daniels takes my carriage with trunk and plans to sell and canvass in cities and villages by the way. He will take a fine pair of mules for which I paid $180. We shall be gone about a week. JW to WCW, February 12, 1879. The 21-year-old Arthur G. Daniels was in Texas at his own expense, assisting Abraham Kilgore in his tent evangelism. He had been lent to James White to assist him as a secretary. Daniels' wife, Mary, was brought into the White home in Denison as cook. Thus began a long-standing acquaintance between the president of the General Conference, the messenger of the Lord, and a young man who in time would himself serve as leader of the church for 21 years. Texas, a needy field of labor. In writing of their mid-February visit to Dallas, Ellen White disclosed their hopes and plans. "Yesterday we bore pointed testimony to the church in Dallas upon the subject of health reform. My husband spoke from the text, Preach the Word. The Spirit of the Lord was in our midst, softening hearts and breaking up the fallow ground. Many testimonies were born, and the church encouraged. We now expect to commence labor here with a tent in about 2 weeks. We shall also hold meetings in Denison and vicinity. Angels of God are at work impressing souls everywhere, and we want to be at work doing all we can for the Master." The Signs of the Times, March 6, 1879. Meetings were held in the Dallas tent from March 7 to 11, JW to WCW, February 27, 1879. On the 11th, James White reported to Edson and Emma, his wife, "Your mother is having a perfect opening here. The tent is crowded." Because of the promise to pitch the tent in Denison for a short series of meetings to run from March 14 to 19, they could not remain as long in Dallas as might seem desirable. Letter 45, 1879. Two conflicting elements were at work that had a strong bearing on their plans: the desire to be in Battle Creek for a special session of the General Conference, and a caravan journey to Colorado, preparing for the exodus from Texas. As James and Ellen White were in Kansas in November, 1878, en route south, he promised that as they left Texas in early May the next year on their way to Colorado, they would attend a Kansas camp meeting to be held about May 10, the Review and Herald, November 21, 1878. In this is seen the embryo of plans that simmered in his mind through the winter. By early March these were taking definite shape. One thing that was clear to the Whites was that some Adventist families in the Dallas area, especially the McDermans, should, for the sake of their very survival, move to a more healthful climate. To James White, Colorado seemed to be just the place. As plans were discussed, the interested families increased in number until between 20 and 30 church members were ready to join a sort of exodus from northern Texas. James White would lead this expedition. The early March trip from Dallas to Denison was a sort of trial run. Ellen White described that 2-day trip. "We left Dallas last Wednesday morning, March 19th, with two heavy wagons, loaded, two 2-seated wagons called Hacks, and our phaeton, Brother McDermott, and family and goods. We were moving on to Denison. We had our large family tent and pitched it and for 2 nights occupied it. 15 composed our caravan, Elder Kilgore and his brother Scott, brother and sister McDearman, their two children, Hattie and Joseph, their niece Nettie Cole, and grandson Homer Salisbury, brother Moore and his son Willie, brother and sister Daniels, sister Marion Davis, brother and sister White. We found that brother and sister McDearman and family endured the journey much better than they feared. They will go through with the company to Colorado. I believe that they will enjoy good health there. We arrived at home in Denison before the Sabbath and were well arranged before sundown. Letter 45, 1879. To provide transportation for some of the families that had been reduced to poverty, James White bought or traded teams of horses and mules, upgrading them step by step. He figured these could be used to travel to Colorado and then, when the caravan reached Walling's Mills, near Boulder, could be sold at a profit.